This episode of the Your Favorite Band Podcast is brought to you by Spartan Records. Check out Spartan Records band American Opera, who have a new album called Small Victories out right now. Bands. I'm your good friend Brandon. My good friend Dave is out today.
What a jerk.
And what a jerk indeed. But I got even a better friend. His name is Stephen Christian. I think he's the best friend of the Your Favorite Band podcast.
Yes.
How does that feel?
I'm honored. I'm perplexed, but I'm honored.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's kind of what you've been, your whole career has been just
it has
for
been.
That.
I finally peaked right here.
This is it. If you want to.
Okay, I'm done.
You are on the show again because you have a new album, not by Amberlin, not by Anchor and Braille, but by somebody called Stephen Christian. Go figure.
Who knew?
So I would like to, before we dive into this album, it comes out what, next Friday? Is that right?
Oh my gosh, that soon? Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
July 28th. Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
So before we dive into the songs, I would love to know kind of what made you decide after doing years of Amberlin and Rockin' and Rollin' to do this worship type project.
Well, I mean, it's a bunch of culminating factors, but the biggest one was that, you know, when Amberlin was coming to a close, let's see, so that, you know, in 13, I kind of decided, in 14, was our final year. For me, I felt like creativity is something that is like a muscle. And if you don't exercise it, it's gone. And I felt like songwriting was something I enjoyed so much, I never wanted to let it go. So I, approached a couple different publishing companies and didn't get the deal I wanted. And then Word Publishing approached me, and man, it was such a perfect fit. It was just the ideal, place for me to be at, even though it's obviously a very Christian label, a Christian publishing company. I just felt like, the people there are just tops, like some great, great people. And so they would hook me up on different co-writes. I'd do everything from a Target jingle to, let's see, country music, obviously, pop music, and just anything, all these rights. Well, they put me on these worship rights, and I realized, like, I finally went back to my A&R there, Joel Timmon, and just basically said, hey, man, anytime anyone wants to write a worship song, like, you don't even have to check with me, just book it, just because I love it so much. And so kind of doing that in 14 and 15, writing for Word, Joel and my wife and, several people were like, dude, why don't you put this out yourself? And I was just kind of like, I don't know, man. I don't want to do the bus thing. It just felt like starting over. It started like, jumping into, like being in a band and all this social media you have to do and all this stuff. It was just kind of like, it just felt overwhelming. It was just, I had just got out of that life. I wasn't ready to jump back into it.
Right.
So that being said, I began, as I was writing these worship songs for other people, I realized, man, I like these songs. Like, these are songs about me. Like, I carried over the whole formula from Amberlin where I think the songs that hit the hardest, the songs that people related the most to, were the ones that I was the most honest with. And so I kind of carried that over to my worship project and the fact that, like, hey, life sucks right now, or life's great, or whatever the condition of life was in, I would just kind of write where I was at. And, and so that's kind of how, the worship project came about. It was a grand accident with prompting from good friends, but I'd never set out to do this record. I never set out to, like, oh, you know what? As soon as Amberlin gets done, I'm just going to jump on the next train that comes. It was just like, no, I didn't. I wasn't even wanting to, like, put this out. I really honestly wanted to write for other people to put out, but it just kind of came to fruition that, I kind of felt very attached to these songs and felt no one else should put them out but me. I mean, it just would seem like a disservice.
Sure. There's kind of this, and I'm sure you're aware of it, being in the world that you're in, there's kind of this stigma with worship music that like real artists don't make worship music. Like it's for like people that just like write formulas and stuff like that. How did you kind of approach this as somebody who writes really great music, is a true artist, but also wants to write good worship music? Was that a difficult thing to not just write the same thing as everybody else? Or how did you go about that?
I've never heard that stigma, probably because like I've never been attached to the Christian industry. You know, we never toured with Christian bands. We'd rarely play a Christian festival. We'd never, you know, we weren't a part of the Dove Awards or anything like that. It's like an all new system to me and structure. But as far as like writing the same thing, you got to think that, you know, if you're in worship, you're kind of writing about the same subject regardless. You see what I'm saying? Like whether you wrote a song 2000 years ago or you wrote it 20 minutes ago, it's the same subject. You're writing about the overflow of your heart, which in this case is God and Jesus. So it's pretty, it's funny when that people do say like, oh, you're just writing the same thing. It's like, yeah, no crap. Like it's probably because this religion has been around for 2000 years. But that being said, I think there is something to be said for personal expression in that and personal artistic freedom in that. I do think worship is going to blow up and become a massive genre because everybody's looking for an experience. I mean, it's the same thing about, you know, with going to a dance club. You know that the guy up there is pushing space bar. He's not writing anything. He's not actually working hard, but you want to be there. You want to experience it. You want to experience thousands of people losing their minds, sweating it out on some type of drug, you know, in the same reality, you know, I think all humans want an experience, you know, and I feel like worship, you know, that is one place, where you can kind of get an experience, at one of these shows where you're with, you know, thousands of people or 10 people, either way, you guys are all focused. And the cool thing is that you're not focused on a DJ on a platform or a band on the stage necessarily, but on something higher than, you know, consciousness. So, I think in that way aspect, it's really cool. And I think it's a genre that's going to grow. But as far as like how I put my artistic expression, like, I think that, you know, it comes down to honesty. I have to be honest with myself. I'm not going to write something or sing something or record something that I truly don't believe in. You know, this is not a money-making venture for me. You know, I'm not trying to be a massive band. I'm not trying to get huge or famous. Honestly, like I am adverse to touring. You know, that's the last thing on my mind. If I wanted to, you know, take that route and become a worship artist, I would quit the church, move back to Nashville, and get back in a tour bus. But that's just not what I want. I want to feed into this, to feed into New Mexico, feed into this community, and just kind of like, just continue in my artistic, you know, longing for songwriting, for creativity, for being in the studio, but more importantly, for, you know, inevitably, you know, pleasing God and, you know, sharing my faith.
Yeah. Before we dive into the songs individually, the whole of the album is kind of synthy, a little poppy, a little bit different than anything that you've done before. So as a whole, how did you approach the sound that this album has as a whole?
So you got to remember that, like I said, I know that my second record is going to sound way different than my first, simply because, you know, like I mentioned, I was writing all this for other people. I was writing this with, you know, with other artists in mind, kind of just making a broad brushstroke as opposed to a finite niche artistic expression. So, you know, I think that's where the roots of it came from, that it was all pretty much straightforward. And then after I realized I'm putting this out, that's when I added in the electronic. That's when I kind of, you know, tuned up, fine tuned the lyrics. And, you know, I don't think I could ever get away from my 80s roots or the electronica roots that I've always been in love with. No matter what record you play, whether it's Anchor and Braille or Amberlin, you're gonna find somewhere in there kind of that shining through. So I think you'll find that on this record as well. But again, I think that the second record is going to sound really different in the fact that, like, I know I'm writing for myself and not like kind of a broad general market.
Yeah. What was the period of time that these songs were written over?
2014 to 2000, you know, mid 2015, but, you know, primarily primarily, like I would say, January to October 2015. You know, and, okay. and then, you know, a few more were written after that. And then obviously going back and fine-tuning it, producing it, you know, pre-proing it, all that kind of stuff, going over it with a fine comb in the latter aspects.
So were these songs, you know, were they written for other people and then you ended up just taking them back? Is that how I'm understanding it? Or?
Basically, okay. That's what happened. You know, it was just kind of one of those things where I knew who I was, you know, quote unquote writing for, but in a way, you know, as soon as people started to show interest in them, I was like, well, I'm probably going to come out with a record. Do you mind if I take it? And most people are super cool. You know, they're just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not planning on putting out a record for quite some time. And even if I like it, I'll, you know, I mean, well, the cool thing about this genre, as opposed to the general market, is the fact that, like, if you like a song and you co-wrote it with somebody, you can both put it on your record and no one cares. It's not like somebody's going to be like, whoa. You know, like, it's worship. So everybody's kind of mimicking, copying, recording each other's works, which I appreciate. I mean, that was something that happened in the 60s and 70s frequently. You know, Jimi Hendrix all along the Watchtower. You know, Bob Dylan's songs were covered all the time. And now it's just kind of like everybody's so adverse to it. Like, that's so unoriginal. Like, why can't you write your own? It's just kind of like, oh, man, I don't know. If somebody did it better, let them have it. You know, if somebody can do it better, go for it. Everybody wins in that scenario.
Yeah. Well, let's get to it. So the album kind of comes out with a bang. Trust is a really great song. So talk a little bit about the writing of Trust, what was going on in your life, and kind of the sound that you decided to go with that song.
So Trust is a song that I wrote with producer Hank Bentley, who's David Crowder's touring guitarist. And, you know, I kind of was attracted to writing with him simply because I knew that, like, he was a phenomenal guitarist and he could come up with guitar lines that I just can't come up with. You know, I can play four chords for you, but, you know, there's no way I can do lead guitar by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, I just knew that he was prolific at both areas, at producing and writing guitar parts. So Trust was one of those songs where it's absolutely personal to me. And I think that's why it started off the record. It's only fitting. And the fact that, like, here's my first worship song coming out of the gate. And it was about, like, a very, you know, which is a brutal time. You know, like, I felt like it was, I don't want to say like I was called out of Amberlin, but I definitely felt a pull out of Amberlin. I felt like, you know, my passion was drying up for being a part of that team. And it was, you know, and I felt like, okay, this is great because I'll take, you know, November was the last show. I'll take December off and focus on my family. And then, you know, come January, I had three jobs lined up. You know, I was basically working as an A&R for a record label. I was doing social media for another company. And I was, I was doing some consulting work on the side. So I felt like all three jobs, you know, added up to me being able to work at home and yet have a pretty decent paycheck. Well, by the end of January, all three jobs were gone. The record label folded, the consulting business went away, and the social media job was outsourced overseas. And it was just kind of like a culmination of like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? Right. You know, I was making great money. I was traveling the world, you know, obviously without my family, sadly. But, you know, here, man, I can't believe I just gave all this up. And yet I'm not saying like I felt betrayed by any means, but I definitely felt like, all right, God, like, where are you? Like, where are you in this? How, like, I really thought this was what I was supposed to be doing. And so that's where the song came from. Trust. Like, you know, I understand that your plans and what you have for me is probably better than I could possibly imagine, which it turned out to be. But right now, all I have is my ability to trust you, and that's it. I don't have my dream job. I don't have a paycheck. I don't have health care. I don't have a 9-to-5. I have nothing but my trust, and so that's kind of where the song came from.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really, really great song to kick off the album too. It's a great opener. I will trust you in the setting sun, in the breaking. Uh, Gloria comes in after that. I believe that was the first single, yeah?
Yeah.
So yep. Talk about why you chose Gloria to be that first single and also what that song's about.
So Gloria to me, like when I wrote it, it was one of those songs I really felt instantaneously. I felt like, wow, I don't know. It just caught me right away. I had written a song and I took it to this guy named Colby. And I was just sitting there, and in my head, it sounded way more like Coldplay. I was like Doves circa, 2007 or something, Travis 2009. Yeah. I just felt like, oh my God, this sounds so Britpop. And what he did with it is he just put a lot of, obviously, electronic music into it, electronics. And it worked way better than I could have ever imagined. It was just like, I just felt like, oh man, that's what it needed. And that's why I love co-writing so much. It's just kind of like you can come up with, all this music. You can come up with all this song. But if you're the only ear listening to it, and you record it just how you envisioned it, it may not be like the best it possibly could be. So that's why I love working with producers that can kind of take it to the next level. Yeah. And so, that happened. That was awesome. And what the song is about is just kind of like, I moved to New Mexico and, I've usually lived in very flat places like Florida and Nashville. And it just, when you move here, it's called the Land of Enchantment, and it's called that for a reason because it is so incredible. Like I can't even explain to you like the mountains and the buttes and the deep canyons that run through here. It's just absolutely mesmerizing. And so, that's the song Gloria is just about that. It's just about like God is infinite. Just look at his creation, just how massive, how big, this is such a big country out here. Cause you can see for, it feels like 1,000 miles in any direction. It just feels that way. And so I kind of wanted to write a song that mirrored that. And Gloria was the song that kind of came out of that.
Yeah. You mentioned how much you like co-writing. Has that been something that you've enjoyed doing for a long, or is that something you kind of grew into? I know some songwriters have a hard time letting go of their baby. Has that been something that you've grown into and really enjoy now?
Well, in Amberlynn, I only co-wrote a total of, 2 or 3 songs, but even those 2 and 3 songs, I did not, I had come to them fully with, the song was intact. When Butch Walker helped me with a song and he just kind of listened to it and goes, no, that's great. Change this word and this word. And no, I think it's where it needs to be. And I was just like, oh man, okay. It gave me a lot of confidence, but it was also kind of one of those things where I was just like, do I really need a co-writer? But then as I kind of grew, I realized like, It's more advantageous because you get a chance to learn from other people's styles. Like Dan Wilson helped me, he wrote like a lot of Adele hits. He wrote a lot of Dixie Chicks big songs. It was a song off New Surrender and it's called Retrace. And the way that he structured the ending of the song was so mesmerizing, it changed how I wrote forever. And like, that's what I appreciate about kind of feeding off. I think a lot of people, especially in the, I want to call it like post-punk, you call it, some emo or indie rock or whatever you want to call it. I think there's a cool factor where they're just kind of like, I'm not selling out. I'm not writing with co-writing with anybody. That's so not punk rock. And it's just kind of like, that's like kind of going to high school and like repeating the 10th grade because the 11th and 12th grade are just, too cool. And it's just like, what are you talking about? These people are professional songwriters who have made literally millions and millions of dollars and wrote some of the biggest songs for other people. And you won't learn from them because like you think like your 3 chords that you played on the same, like 2 records ago, like suddenly is going to sound new to your fans. It's like, dude, just go learn, go grow. And so I've definitely grown into co-writing. It wasn't something that was innate. It definitely felt very foreign when I did it with Amberlynn. And now it's just kind of like, no, I actually enjoy it. It actually makes sense. And so there'll definitely still be songs where I write and it'll just be me by myself. But co-writing to me is so much fun. We'll sing out his praise forever. Lift up your voice and sing before the rising.
Going to that third track, Wide Eyed Wonder, it almost seems like a follow-up to Gloria, kind of going with that awe and wonder type theme. So talk a little bit about that track.
So there's a book called Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning that really impacted my life for God. It was one of those books where, you know, when you have questions and you're just wondering, like, why God, why this venture, why this tragedy? It kind of, I don't want to say like it fully answers the question, but it definitely gives you a new sense of God, of just your place in this world and how much God actually cares. And so the song is loosely based on one of the stories in that book where he talks about, you know, there's this priest and someone asked him, you know, they were talking about this story where God said, you know, Solomon, you know, what do you want? If you could have anything in the world, from wealth to women to, you know, whatever you want, the kingdoms of this earth, what would you ask for from me? And so he said, honestly, if I could have one thing, it would be wisdom. And so these priests were discussing that story, and they asked this priest, what's one thing that you wish you could have? And he said, man, I want a sense of wonder. I want childlike wonder for the rest of my life. And I just thought that was such a mesmerizing answer. I was like, wow, that's exactly what I want. I feel like in our society, we've just allow technology to take the place of, like, when we were kids and we saw Shamu for the first time at SeaWorld, or, you know, like, or when we were, like, riding our bike and we saw a shooting star at night for the first time. We were just like, oh, did you see that? And it's like, oh my gosh, have you seen the new iOS update? You know, like, I just want that sense of wonder back from nature, from life, from real life. I think we all kind of are, I don't know, letting this world pass us by without kind of stopping to, you know, for lack of better imaginative analogy, stop and smell the roses, you know, like,
yeah.
we seem to be more interested in going to the next tech convention than we do camping, you know, or spending a night out in nature. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either. I'm just saying, like, I think there should be a balance in our lives. I'm definitely into tech, but I definitely realize that, like, man, there's something about nature. So that's what the song Wonder's about. That's what the song Wonder's about, is just kind of like my prayer to never lose that sense of wonder.
Yeah. I think people want that and they don't even know it. Like the desire for nostalgia. Like we were talking about Stranger Things before we started recording, and how much people love that because they like reminiscing about almost a simpler time, a time when you were a kid and were just amazed by little things. So I think, like, it's clear that people desire that type of thing and don't even know it because we're sick.
Yep, I think you're right.
So. Track number four, Light Rise Up. Let's talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, that's where actually the title of the record comes from. In that song is just, you know, wildfires. And it feels like we're due for a revolution. You know, we're due for a change in society. And I think that, you know, hopefully it's not a negative one. I want it to be a positive one where, you know, where's the America who was the innovators, who was the initiators, who was the pioneers, who, you know, fought to you know, the elements to get to the you know, through the West and settle these lands? I just feel like we've kind of lost a lot of that, and we've become complacent revolutionaries where we think that what, you know, we're fighting for a cause if we post it to Facebook. And it's just like, really, that does nothing. If you have like-minded friends, and that is a series of echo chambers where you're just telling each other, like, the same stories that just emphasize the beliefs you already have. So why don't you get out there, and if you really do want to fight homelessness, stop reposting what the local opinions, you know, editor said in the newspaper. Why don't you get out there and figure out a way? You know, just the other day I saw, I don't think it was Kickstarter, I think it was Mashable, how someone made a jacket. And what you could do is, like, on the inside, you could unfold it, and the legs are kind of tucked inside, buttoned inside, and you could untuck the legs, and then it would become like a sleeping bag, you know? So you have the jacket has a pillow, like the head, and then you could wear the jacket around anytime you wanted. But when you felt like, you know, like sleeping on a park bench or, you know, you just couldn't find shelter, you could unfold these legs from the jacket. And I was just like, man, that's, I love that. Micro revolutions in society where, you know, you're thinking outside of yourself for the greater good. And so that's what I want to see, a wildfire, a light rise up and kind of stir this nation or this world back to the awakening of that, that this world was never meant to be about us, but for others.
Yeah. Was there ever a chance that you would call that song Make America Great Again, or?
There's no way that would ever take place.
Yours sounds like a much more holy version of that, for sure. For sure.
There you go.
We'll get right back to the interview in just a second, but I got to take a second and tell you about our sponsor this week. It's Spartan Records. They're wonderful. They have so many great bands on their label, and the one we're going to talk about this week is American Opera. They just had their debut album come out. It's called Small Victories, and it's fantastic. You can buy it on SpartanRecords.com. They have it in CD form, digital form, or some super cool vinyl if you're into that. And you should be. They also just put out a brand new music video for Jack Pine. You can check that out on their Facebook page. Just search for American Opera. Go buy American Opera's new album, Small Victories, today at SpartanRecords.com. Hope has a name. I love that lyric. I love the song. So talk a bit about that one.
Yeah, that's one of those songs where I really didn't, I was not too into it. You know, even really? On, I remember in Amber Lynn, like when, you know, on Dark is the Way, I just could not wrap my head around Impossible. I was just kind of like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I don't like it in its current state. I don't want to record it. And I was in Brazil and Christian was like, dude, you've got to record it. Can you just trust me? Like, I think that this song has such great potential. And he was right. It became like the number two song in the nation at one point. I was just kind of like, all right, I guess I don't know everything. And so this is one of those things where Riley, the producer, was like, dude, you've got to put this on the record. You've got to trust me. And, so yeah, I mean, that's one of those stories behind the songs where it's just kind of like I didn't see it, I didn't hear it, but he did, and it turned out to be one of the favorites as far as the people like in the headquarters of BEC. They were just like, that's such a great song, and I said, I just don't get it. I wish that would you know, give me hope to put it on the record, you know, with their encouragement. But still, I was like, I'm on the fence. I'll wait till I hear from the fans.
That's funny. Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs on the album. So I guess you just don't really know what you're talking about. So what can you do?
Touché. Love made a way.
My favorite track is this one, Atmosphere, featuring Sarah Reeves. I love it. Yeah. It's a beautiful song. Talk a little bit about the song and also the collaboration there with Sarah.
Yeah, I really wanted, I know this sounds funny, but I wanted a female Rod Stewart. That's what I was looking for when I told people. And there was all these people that, like, I really like Ellie Holcomb. I really like Lauren Daigle. I thought they were great, but I just didn't want, I couldn't wrap my head around their voice being on the track. You know, I know it sounds funny, but I hear this, when I see this track in my mind, I'm at a smoky bar and it's not very crowded and it's just almost like a lounge singer singing, you know, worship. I know that's the craziest thing, but that's kind of who I wanted. That's who I envisioned in my mind. And so when I heard Sarah Reeve's voice, I would, you know, because she's on Word Records as well, I was just like, that's it. Whoever that is, like, I've got, I can't live without that voice being on my record. So I'm just so stoked that she said yes and that she agreed to do it. And I feel like it's perfect. You know, I can't explain the song much more than like a cloud that is just at room level. And that's what that song feels like. It's almost like a heaviness, and yet kind of like you just want to rest in it. You almost want to like fall asleep in it. And then when Sarah's voice comes on, it lulls you. Like, that's it. Like this. Yeah, it's definitely top three favorite tracks for me on this record by far.
That's great.
From the power of your love. When darkness comes, we will stand up and not fear.
The next one is He Is Anthem. When I first saw that title, I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. But then the song is actually really great. So talk a bit about it and what you were trying to say in that track.
Yeah, so I wrote this song with a couple in Nashville, and they have kind of like a duo there. And it was one of those songs when I heard it, I was kind of like, all right, now that I hear it, you know, kind of done, mixed and stuff like that, that was one of those songs that I felt like was always for somebody else. You know, I felt like, oh man, someone should record this song. Someone should do it. And then when it came time to record the record, I was like, I need something like this on the record. But then I was a little apprehensive because, you know, I was like, man, I just don't want it to sound like Mumford and Son at all. I don't want a hey ho on my record at all. Right. And so, but then when we recorded it and we put it together, I was like, yeah, that's so cool. And it was one of those first songs that I had rested on. And so looking back, I know this sounds crazy, but like if I had to do all over again, I'm not sure that that song would have made the record, but by the time, that's so funny to say, but when we were kind of putting together the final record, the record felt incomplete without that song because I enjoyed like the, whoa, there's just something big about it. It felt like that song deserved to be sung in a stadium somewhere. And so that's why it ended up on the record. I just felt like the record would be incomplete without it, but I don't know. It's such a quandary of a song, but yeah. But I'm glad that it's on there now.
That's so funny that you have these songs, like a couple of them, that you're like, I don't really know, but I'm going to throw it out there and see what people think. Like, I love that you're still at a place in life where you're like, yeah, whatever.
Sure, well, if you're not your biggest critic, who is? I mean, I think that's, you know, obviously people are going to review your records, but I don't know them, so their opinion means very little to me. But, right. You know, but for me, it's just kind of like, I mean, man, you should have seen, like, the hours that I would comb over Amber Lynn records, you know, like listening to them over and over and over and over, just kind of like, what could I have done better? What could I do better on the next record? You know, it's just, you know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. But I think that anybody, you know, that doesn't take time to kind of critique themselves or look in the mirror and be honest with themselves is just kind of like disservicing the entire record, or their, at least at very minimum, their fans, but at very, you know, mostly album as a whole. So, you know, it is one of those things that you, it's like a child, you put it out into the great unknown and you hope that, you know, that the world takes care of them, you know? And, so yeah, that's, yeah. I just feel like you as an artist should be your biggest critic.
Yeah.
Never holding back in the aftermath when you've lost all you can lose. God is among the ruins. He's bringing back my hope.
Let's move on to track 8, Undone. Another really great song. I feel like the album grows really well. Like I continue to like really enjoy myself as I'm listening to it and as it goes on. And that's true with Undone. So talk a bit about that one and what you're going for there.
Yeah. So right down the street from me when I lived in East Nashville was this guy I met at Whole Foods named Mike Donahue, who ended up to be the singer for 10th Avenue North. And we hit it off and we just became such great friends. But, you know, we had never ridden together. And so finally, you know, I'm getting ready to leave and move to New Mexico. And I was like, Mike, we have to ride together one time. You know, let's just see where the morning takes us. Let's just go at it, you know. And it turned out to be so effortless, effortless. We just kind of like sat around and spitballed back and forth. And this song just came so naturally. It wasn't, you know, because there's some rites where I write with people and it's just like knocking your head against the wall. You're just like, where do we go from here? But this one was like so fluid. One of us would be on the piano and the other one would be on guitar. And then the other one would be on guitar and the other one would be on piano. And it came together in the matter of like an hour. And wow. I think it's because we had such an established friendship and we both know where we were with life and with God and with our family. And so this was kind of where we were at, like another like social commentary, you know, to where, you know, exactly what both of us were going through in our life. And it was one of those things where it could have gone on his record, it could have gone on mine, and we both knew it. And, you know, he was just gracious enough to like, you know, let me have it just because, I don't know, it was just such an effortless, carefree, so much fun to write with like-minded people. And so that's where this song came from.
Yeah, they're great. I've always really enjoyed them. And we've talked about my love and your love for Christmas music, and I'm excited for their Christmas album this year.
Yeah.
Just a fun, I saw this like short Instagram. I don't remember who posted it, but it was like, they were listening to the masters, I think, of the Christmas album. And one of the songs was like absurd. Like someone was talking through it or something. I don't remember. All that to say, I'm excited about it.
That's great. Yep. Kingdom come, change my heart, change your Lord. Let my will be undone. Fix my eyes on things above. Let my desires be one with yours.
One More Moment is the 9th track out of 10 on the album. So talk about that one.
Yeah, that's a really personal song. You know, it's kind of because I try to do something every morning. I try to get up before the rest of my family and go read my Bible and go pray. And I journal a lot and, you know, just kind of thoughts and kind of planning out and life and all that kind of together. And yeah. So that song's about just those moments where it's just the house is quiet. Like even this morning, you know, I have like my own routine. I woke up and my two daughters and my wife are in bed with me. And I woke up and I actually took a picture of them because I thought it was so cute. Everybody just sleeping in. And I went and made coffee and I went and read my Bible and just kind of just sat there and prayed. I don't know. Those moments are so sacred to me and so beautiful. I mean, there's something said to be like a protector of the family and being there and the house is just still and I don't know. And so it's not like I'm trying to be selfish in the song, like One More Moment, you know, please kids don't wake up, but it's definitely right. One of those, like such a soothing, lulling, like just, you know, God stay right here. Like, let's just hang out. This is too perfect. You know, this is too right. And, that's definitely what the song's about. And what I was trying to accomplish with the song is just kind of share one of those intimate moments of my life with other people.
Yeah, and it's probably for those moments that you don't want to go back out on tour.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's moments like that where I'm like, this is why I am at home and I enjoy it here. Because you alone defied me. How immense is your love? It's small enough to find.
The album concludes with a great track, All I Need to Know. And I feel like it does a really good job of concluding and just putting the finishing touch on the album. So talk a little bit about that one.
I think it reiterates the message of the first song. you know, where it's trust. You know, I think, you know, because it's almost this, if you, you know, the underlying theme throughout the whole record is just my time of like disillusionment from what I thought not touring would look like. And also kind of just reckless abandon to whatever the future held for me. And, you know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and all your way acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And I think the ironic part of that, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 is that trust, you know, starts the record, you know, and, you know, that's what the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not understanding, all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And I think that's what's the beautiful part, is that the closing of this record is he will direct your path. And that's what that last song is about. It's just kind of that, you know, letting go and saying, I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that I'm diligent in what I do and what I set out to do today. And I'm, you know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And God gave me a lot. He gave me a beautiful family and he gave me many responsibilities. And I'm required to work on those with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And when I do that, he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful. That's it. That's the summation. I have nothing other than he will be faithful. If I do my part, he will do his part.
Big thanks to Stephen Christian for joining us once again. Go get his new album. It's called Wildfires, and it comes out Friday, July 28th, wherever you get your music. Until next time, have a good one.